League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
And finally, we get to fire it up again. It's been a little time since we've been on the air together. I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson, and we got Jose behind the glass. Welcome in, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I needed a GPS to find this place.
It has been a while. I'm feeling a little rusty.
Well, you could, I mean, as the owner of this entity, I can tell you that I've been getting tweets, emails, nasty notes saying, where is the Gloss? She's been off the air for 3 weeks. Everybody wanted you back. So now, here, America, you've got her. Carla Dawson's back on the airwaves.
You're making me nervous. You threw the owner card at me early on. Thank you, Jose.
Every now and then.
Bow. Snap, snap, snap.
Well, since we've been off the air, amazing things have happened. Big things. Clemson's now the national champion of college football.
I'm not even a little excited.
What? Yeah, I heard the screams across the entire city of Houston when
beautiful.
It wasn't just a win, it was a beatdown by Clemson over Alabama.
Loved it.
Secondly, a bunch of NFL coaches got fired. I guess we saw that coming, but 8 people fired this year. 8 openings, 6 are all done, 2 to come. Lots of change in the NFL coaching carousel.
And the only requirement, you got to be 18 years old. And apparently they got several of them. So there we go.
It is a young and inexperienced lot filling in all these spots. Is it not? It's amazing.
I want to talk to you about that later.
All right, we'll come back to that.
We might have to jump off a cliff when we're talking about it.
Well said. Saying. Nice pun. Cliff Kingsbury, of course, landing an NFL gig with very little experience. And then, of course, the other big headline is the NFL is down to its version of the Final Four. Really, 4 exceptional teams remain in the hunt.
I love the shakeout. These are the 4 top scoring offenses in the NFL. Boom, 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 boom. And they're the final one standing.
And you got 2 old-timer quarterbacks, the venerable ones. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, some of the best of all time, right?
Versus the new look NFL.
And the new young guns. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is outstanding. We've got a guy coming up next, Alex Gold of the Gold Standard. He's been wearing a Chiefs shirt
for the entire season.
Yeah, a whole month, year at least.
Good for him.
He's wearing one tonight. We love him in red. He's still alive, and Chiefs are alive. They got a big matchup against the Patriots. We'll unpack all that when we return. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries. Whatever the occasion is, Gifting Map has you covered. Visit giftingmap.com for great gifts. That's giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, so as I digest what happened to my beloved Cowboys this weekend, it was a bit of a beatdown against the Rams.
The score didn't show that, though.
No, 30-22 is certainly respectable. I will say, coming into this game, I did not think the Cowboys were going to win. In fact, when I looked at the remaining 8 teams in the division round, I thought the Cowboys slotted in neatly at number 6. I put them ahead of the Eagles and the Colts, but behind all those other good teams in there, Saints, Rams, Pats, Chiefs, Chargers. I thought the Cowboys were the 6th best team, so I thought they would lose. I just didn't see them losing because they couldn't stop the run. That was one thing they had done very, very well all year. They've got those 2 great young linebackers. Their front 4 has been pretty strong. They've been a team that's been able to limit the damage from the running game. And in fact, the previous week, the Seahawks, all they wanted to do was run the ball on the Cowboys, and the Cowboys said no. And yet, the Rams had their way.
Well, right. The Rams were able to dominate the line of scrimmage. And, you know, That's the exact same thing. That's how Indianapolis put that beat down on Dallas a few weeks ago, is dominating the line of scrimmage. And I think it was shocking to see the defensive front seven get attacked like that. I mean, that's, you know, a calling card for Dallas. That's what they're known for. They could not stop that tandem of Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson, which is not easy. But it's also not easy to stop Ezekiel Elliott looking on the other side. And the Rams defense held him to 47 yards.
Well, a big part of that, I mean, I've heard people say, well, the Cowboys should have given the ball to Zeke more. They should have given him more chances to get more yards. But so much of it was just the Rams control the time of possession. Zeke didn't get that many opportunities. Cowboys offense didn't get that many opportunities. They did get 22 points. I have to give a lot of credit to the Rams on the way that they came to play. They obviously came with a very physical attitude. And, Sean McVay did a good job of chip blocking there on DeMarcus Lawrence, lining up wide receivers.
He went old school.
And it is a funny moment here. All these teams are looking for the next Sean McVay, that innovative offensive mind, the guy who will do all these newfangled passing schemes. And yet, in his big playoff game against the Cowboys, McVay went old school. He was handing the ball off. He was pounding the middle of the field, running traps and lead blocks right up the front. I mean, Rams won the physical game, and they won with a run game.
They also won the coaching game. And here's what I want to ask you. As a seasoned Cowboys fan for years, you have stuck with them through all the good and all of the bad. So you look at what was happening, especially to their defense.
Yep.
You know, they didn't give their offense much time. That's exactly right. So you go into the locker room at halftime. Your scheme is not working. Your game plan is not working. Where were the adjustments?
Right.
And who is that on? Is that on Jason Garrett? Who's that on?
Hard to say. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, it's an interesting moment right now. Rod Marinelli is now the nominal defensive coordinator. They've got Richards is in there. He is the defensive backs coach nominally, but he is a guy who has taken on more responsibility for that defense and brought an attitude with that defense.
He has, which is impressive.
Mm-hmm. So,
but was he the one that was screaming at Jalen Smith?
He was the one screaming at the linebackers. Man. Chris Richards, he came over from the Seahawks. Great defensive backs coach, and he's really put an attitude in that defense. Everybody gives him a lot of credit. In fact, the big concern just a couple weeks ago for the Cowboys was that Chris Richards was going to get a head coaching job somewhere else and leave them. It does not appear that's going to happen. Most of the head coaching jobs are really locked up now. So Richards will remain with the Cowboys. Some are speculating he'll be the defensive coordinator next year. But very disappointing, you're right, that the Cowboys' defense didn't really adjust, that the Rams were able to run the ball throughout the game. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys' defense either didn't come with the same zest and energy, or schematically they just weren't able to make the adjustments. Jason Garrett is on the hot seat. It's a very interesting moment for him and an interesting moment for Jerry Jones. Garrett fits into that Cowboys ecosystem very well. He can play the quieter, subdued coach and fit in and slide into Jerry Jones. He can allow Jerry Jones to be
the front man. He's a good puppet. He will do what they want, what Stephen and Jerry want him to do.
He does that very, very well, but his track record isn't good. Terrell Owens is calling for his head, so I think it's a question mark. The biggest question I have, though, really, I mean, and as a Cowboys fan, I would not really mind seeing Jason Garrett go. I just don't know whom you'd replace him with now. There aren't a lot of options left, and when you look at the new coaches that have just taken jobs, there's not a name that just jumps out of you. There's not an Andy Reid to go grab right now. The best name, I guess, would be
Mike McCarthy,
let go of the Packers. But, of course, he's a guy who ran into some roadblocks with the Packers, had a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and somehow wasn't all working there. So there are question marks about any coach you'd just throw in to replace Jason Garrett.
Well, I would say, in regards to Mike McCarthy, two things. Is that may give the Jones family a little bit of pause, because you're bringing in sort of a Bill Parcells type of, not quite that intense of a personality, but when he's going to want to run things. He's not going to want things run through him. He's going to be the coach, and that's what it would be. The other thing is that in Green Bay, they didn't have the pieces around Aaron Rodgers that Dak now has. You know, I really credit Stephen Jones for the drafts that he has had ever since, really, the Johnny Manziel draft year, when that's who Jerry really, really wanted. And instead, they picked up Zach Martin, who has been, you know, the focal point of that amazing offensive line. And they have had fantastic drafts since then. And then they made that bold trade for Amari Cooper, which everyone thought they were crazy. My gosh, you're giving up a first rounder for Amari Cooper. Hello, 8-2 since Amari Cooper came on. So I love what Stephen Jones is doing, and I credit Jerry for allowing him to do his job. He's doing a great job.
Well, and I'm going to give some credit to Will McKay, the director of player personnel, because I think he's the one who really does the scouting and sets the board, stack ranks the players, and sets them up for the draft. Then, of course, Stephen Jones brings the discipline to stick to the board.
And he's got to listen to him.
Right. Stephen will go with what McKay has laid out for him and stand up to his dad if a dad wants to do a flashy pick. I mean, one of the things that's sort of interesting about the Cowboys draft over the last 4 to 5 years is they often are going a little bit against the grain position-wise. Mm-hmm. So when they take an offensive lineman in the first round, that's not the sexy pick. And there's usually a run on defensive linemen. When they took Leighton Vander Esch, a linebacker, middle linebackers are not usually the sexy pick in the first round. But think about it. If everyone else is taking a run on defensive ends or a run in another position, maybe it's a sexy wide receiver position, and
you're liking that word today.
Well, the word's
throwing out three sexies, but you are right. The linemen do not.
Jose, you know, help me. I'm whom am I looking at as I say these things? I've got the gloss right before me.
Is this a new thing for this year? I don't know.
That's his word of the day.
That's true. Okay, we're going to give it to you.
My point was is that if they'll avoid the sexy pick, that they take the guy who brings his lunch pail to work. If you take the best offensive guard, the number one offensive guard on the board, as opposed to the fifth defensive end because of the big run on defensive end, you're less likely to reach. And what often will happen is the number one offensive guard is a better total all-around player than the number five defensive end. So, or this year, Vander Esch at middle linebacker, not a sexy position. There's that word again.
But you are accurate with that description.
And so that's what I think is the discipline that Stephen Jones has brought in the draft room based on Will McKay's draft board.
Well, then we do give Will McKay credit because you're talking about Leighton Vander Esch, which has been an amazing pickup.
Yep.
Who's paired with Jalen Smith, who was nobody wanted him. He was damaged goods, you know, after that Fiesta Bowl injury with Notre Dame. And he has come back with a vengeance, and that tandem together is money.
Yep.
Wow.
A great duo. It might mean the end of Sean Lee in Dallas, which is another headline to think about. But Cowboys have a big cap hit. He's a $7 million player next year. And when he's not been able to stay on the field, it's hard to keep him on the team.
And he's got a family, and his family's going to play into that decision.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of health issues that he's had, so...
Well, he's had a great career. In fact, as a Cowboys fan, I would say that there have been a couple of Cowboys players, guys like Jason Witten and Sean Lee, that defined that team, that were leaders on that team. And Sean Lee, even when he was injured this year, you could see him coaching Jalen Smith and coaching Leighton Vander Esch. He is a voice on the sideline that was very meaningful for the Cowboys defense.
And a very important veteran presence. He was. He was very visible and very active when he was on the sidelines with those two guys.
Right.
It was impressive. Class act.
Well, when we come back, we'll take a look at the Rams, the victors in that game. We'll also look at the other matchups of the weekend, and we'll look at these head coaches who have now found their way to the Final Four. You've got the youngster in Sean McVay and some seasoned veterans in Reed and Peyton and Belichick. Very interesting contrast. When we return, the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, I said about those Cowboys and Rams games. Oh, I thought that, well, it didn't surprise me the Cowboys lost. I was surprised the way they lost. I will say a similar statement about the Chargers and the Patriots. I did think the Pats would win at home. But I had much more belief.
You mean lose at home? You didn't think they'd lose at home?
No, I thought the Pats would win at home. But I didn't think the Pats could win that big. Yeah. I mean, they were the Patriots, the way they came out and just dominated. I mean, the Chargers' defense has been pretty stout most of this year. But it was as if Tom Brady and company had nothing to fear. They were able to run the ball. They did play action. They did exactly what Belichick would have wanted.
No, they did. And this is where you have to remember – Belichick is the master of preparation.
Yep.
The master. Like, he's the gold standard.
And he had 2 weeks.
Yep. thanks to the Texans. We won't get into that now, but honestly, that was their spot to have, and they could have used that extra week. But it allowed the banged-up players for the Patriots to get healthy again.
Yep.
It allowed, do not give Belichick any more time than he needs, a whole next extra week. So I love that he's the master of preparation and, to me, the master of adjustments. He didn't need to make any adjustments at halftime this time. But they got to play. The game that they had was a power run game. When you saw Sony Michel with four touchdowns, they did not need Brady to win this game for them. He didn't have to make those tight throws and that kind of thing. I mean, he had some throws to Edelman. Of course, he's always going to get his. But the game wasn't on the onus of Brady.
Well, with Michelle running for 139 yards and looking
as
dominant.
As a rookie.
Sonny Michel, he was outstanding. And that does set up everything else for that Patriot offense. The play actions then. And Brady runs those so well. And he can put the ball in the perfect spot. I mean, the fact that they could just move the ball without seemingly any problems against the Charger defense in that first half was just remarkable to me.
Well, you know, Brady's getting a little salty about everyone says we...
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I hate to say the word, but when everyone says we suck, whatever, that's just him just being a bit of a drama queen. The bottom line is, as far as Patriots standards go, their regular season was subpar for the Patriots. I mean, it ended up fine at 11-2. It was great. But honestly, they didn't look like we had hoped that they, you know, that we're used to seeing. But this is the three words I would say about Brady and the entire Patriots team. Experience, experience, and experience. Mm-hmm. They can just turn on the playoff switch and no one's going to bet against them.
Well, for all their troubles, and I use that sort of euphemistically, or all their troubles during the regular season, if they hadn't had that debacle at the end of the Miami game, they would have finished with the best record and they would have the home field advantage. The Chiefs would be coming to New England this weekend. So it's just amazing for all the noise and drama around them. They had a pretty darn good season.
They did.
And they're one game away from the Super Bowl yet again.
And right. I mean, it's remarkable.
Going back to your point about Belichick, what he seems to be able to do is identify an opponent's soft spot, weakness, and then he goes right for the jugular, right for that spot. And that was right up the gut of the Chargers defense. And so, yes, they ran the ball very, very well, incredibly well. The other dynamic on the other side was the Patriots defensively. He had a masterful game plan, lots of pressure on Rivers, right up the gut of Rivers. And, of course, Rivers doesn't have much mobility. This was the game that...
Neither does Brady.
Well, it was the game of two statue quarterbacks, great quarterbacks.
The cement shoe quarterbacks. Yeah.
But, I mean, the Patriots harassed Rivers, I think, on 29 of 53 dropbacks. It was a 55% pressure rate.
Gosh.
They were in his face. Rivers did not get a chance to set his feet and make the kinds of throws he loves to make.
Well, you know, and maybe this comes down to actually coaching. And I'm not saying that Rivers is a better quarterback than Brady. Rivers is an outstanding quarterback who has nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
Yeah.
And Anthony Lynn could not, because honestly, it didn't seem like he could scheme in the way that Belichick, and he doesn't have that head coaching experience that Belichick has. But you look at the one way to get the Patriots off their game is to pressure Tom Brady.
Right.
He doesn't do it. No quarterback does well under pressure.
Right.
And that is the way to get him on his heels. And so, unfortunately, the LA Chargers
did it.
In the soccer stadium that they can't fill, what the LA Chargers needed to do to the Patriots did right back to them with all the pressure on Rivers.
Well, look, if you're a defensive coordinator and you're facing the New England Patriots and you have this decision to make, do you do a soft zone or lots of guys back in coverage, or do you bring the heat and put the pressure and force Brady to make the quick decision, I would certainly go with pressure on Brady.
Totally.
Because we've just seen time and time again, if he has time, he will pick a defense apart.
Absolutely he will. And, you know, here's the sad thing about Phillip Rivers. He has outstanding numbers. He's the first quarterback to throw for more yards, almost 55,000, and more TDs, 374, and never play in a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's
Yikes.
Tough.
To me, that speaks...
He's had a great career.
He's had a great career, but it speaks to me of intangibles, because I look at Tom Brady's intangibles. I have never seen... Well, not never. There's very few athletes that have that competitiveness and that will to win, almost an angry, fiery will to win, and Tom Brady can will himself and his teammates to win. And I don't see that with Rivers. And so if you don't have that will to win, you can't get yourself there. Then how do you get the experience in those big postseason moments or, you know, deep into the playoffs? You don't get that.
Well, I'm going to give Rivers a little more credit. My view of the Chargers is they've never really had all the right pieces around him.
Right.
Now, this team, I thought
this
they did.
This team looks so good.
And so I don't really know how to explain the fact they didn't show up and play well yesterday. But this team, I think, has a lot of those pieces. Now, they may want to go out and try to beef up their offensive line and give them a little more protection. But I really was disappointed in the way the Chargers came to play yesterday.
Or did they come to play? And the interesting thing is that their road record is perfect up until yesterday.
Yep.
So that being a road game, I thought, this is great for the Chargers. This is actually better than a soccer stadium. So,
all right, when you talk about Philip Rivers, a very good quarterback, has never been to the Super Bowl.
Amazing.
There's another guy who is maybe the Marty Schottenheimer of coaching right now.
Oh, I know.
Andy Reid of the Chiefs.
I love him.
He's outstanding. He did make it to a Super Bowl with the Eagles, did not win, and this is probably his best shot. But he's a guy, you don't want him to be the Marty Schottenheimer of the NFL,
no.
Which is the trajectory he's on until or if he can break through.
I have such a soft spot for him because when I saw the Chiefs, was it their... I can't remember what game it was, but he talked first. They lost. I think it was with the Rams. It was a very... No, it wasn't. I cannot remember who it was. Nonetheless, I saw him speaking afterwards. I almost felt sorry for him. He's like a bookworm. He's a genius.
Yep.
But he's not that flashy, you know, Sean McVay talking this way. This kind of, you know, he's very... you know, he's very thoughtful. He's very intentional. He's very brilliant. He does not look like a football guy to me. And I just want him to succeed. I want it so badly for him. And he's got the pieces. Now, of course, that defense yesterday looked like Chicago's defense. Where did they come from?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if they can play that kind of defense, they're really well positioned. They did lead the NFL in sacks this year. They've got some pieces. They shut down Andrew Luck yesterday.
Who would have known that fact? I wouldn't have known what you just said.
Well, people don't. I mean, but give them some credit. They led the NFL in sacks this year. And when you look up front, they've got some guys there. Justin Houston, mm-hmm. Alan Bailey. They've got Dee Ford, Chris Jones. They've got some horses up front. And they do have a defense. I think it was often overlooked by the sizzle of their offense, which is overwhelming, but if the Chiefs can bring to bear a defense, they're a championship team.
Oh, I think so too. And you know, it boils down to complementary football. You know, it really does. I mean,
you got to be balanced now. You got to run the ball, you got to throw the ball, you got to have a defense.
And your special teams has to do their job, make some fun plays. So it's going to be a great weekend.
Well, really, now where we sit, these four teams. You can't look at any one of those four and say, well, they just sort of snuck in, or they're the ones really belong, right? They're going to be some incredible matchups. So Chiefs-Patriots, who do you like in that one?
I like the Chiefs.
You do see the
Chiefs.
Remember
the 43-40 regular season game that came down to the wire?
Yep.
And again, the luck went the Patriots' way, as it usually does. But I like this again. It's hard to beat the same team twice in the same season, so I'm going with the Chiefs.
And, of course, this one at home at Arrowhead, and you know those
really
Chiefs fans,
hostile place to
they
play.
Are hungry for this one.
Oh, yes, they are.
It will be a sea of red in that stadium. No fans turn out for their color the way. Whenever you see the Kansas City crowd, it's always in red. They are really going to be amped up for this one. It will be a great, great game, great matchup. Now,
and I love the Alpha and the Omega look. You've got the Patrick Mahomes, the new look quarterback of the NFL that moves. It's got a rocket arm that, you know, makes these side-armed crazy throws. And then you've got Tom Brady, your quintessential pocket passer, can do it in the tightest window. You know, you're seeing not the end of his playing era, but the end of that style of play. And then the new guys coming up.
Yeah, I was reading. So we got the GOAT on one side, the greatest of all time. And then the GORN, which is the greatest of right now, Patrick Mahomes. So the GOAT versus the GORN.
Nice.
It's a nice matchup.
Did you come up with that yourself,
Show off? No, I wish I'd made that up, but I read it somewhere.
Oh, that is very nice. I'm going to give you credit for that.
Well, going over to the NFC, I mean, Saints do get to play at home. They did not look as impressive as the Rams in their win. In fact, I was a little surprised the Saints – almost let that one get away. I mean, they're a better team than the Eagles right now, and Drew Brees is better than Nick Foles, and you just line up those rosters. I thought the Saints were going to win that one much more handily, but it was a bit of a struggle.
It was a struggle, but Philadelphia is tricky. I mean, you know what? They're dangerous.
Well-coached team.
I think the right team is moving on, but they're one to watch out for.
All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Rich Gosselin of the Talk of Fame Network. He's a Hall of Fame voter. We'll ask him what happened to the Cowboys and the fate of Jason Garrett when we return.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Carla, you do realize that when it gets cold out there, your vehicle does need attention.
Yes, I do.
And O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly will help you get your car or truck in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Rick Gosselin. He hosts the Talk of Fame show, which is Wednesdays this same time. It's 8 to 10 Eastern. Rick, welcome to the show with David and Carla.
Always great to be back on your airwaves.
Well, thanks for joining us. I have to start with the Cowboys. You're there in Dallas. I told Carla I expected them to lose, but I didn't see their giving up all those rushing yards. What happened to the Dallas defense?
I don't think the Cowboys expected that either. That was stunning.
Yep.
They had been allowing 94 yards a game rushing, and they had a top five defense. And then you saw stories over the weekend that the Rams say that Cowboys defensive line were tipping off their stunts and rushes. So that had something to do with it. But the bottom line is they ran the ball at will against the Cowboy team that doesn't give up yards. And that was stunning. The one thing I will say, the Cowboys, they want to rush the passer, not tackle the runner. And the Rams made them tackle runners. And they aren't as good at that as they are rushing the passer.
Duly noted.
Rick, do you think that came down more to execution and game planning and not being able to make adjustments at the half?
Oh, it was good. They had over, I think, close to 200 yards by halftime. Mm-hmm. It was a little, the horse was out of the barn at that point. It came down to execution. You know, this is what happened to the Colts at Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the Rams went boom, boom, scored twice, and they're up, and now you've got to play catch-up football. The Cowboys are not a team built to play catch-up football. This is a team that the Cowboys were 10-0 this season when they had the lead at halftime. They're 1-7 when they didn't have the lead at halftime. So when they were down 20-7 at halftime, I knew they were in trouble.
We're talking to Rick Gosselin, who is there in Dallas. And let me ask you about the possible coaching changes. Garrett's rumored to be on the hot seat, or Linehan, or maybe even Marinelli. What do you see in the way of changes for the Cowboys coaching staff looking next year?
Well, Jerry's already said he's going to extend Jason after he won that playoff game last week. I thought before the start of the year, Garrett had to take the team to the playoffs and win a playoff game. He did that.
Yep.
And Jerry will now extend him. The question is, do they have enough coaching on offense to go forward? You look at the four teams in the finals this weekend. They were the four highest scoring teams in football. The Cowboys were the lowest scoring team in the playoffs. The Rams scored almost 200 more points than the Cowboys. The Cowboys have to find a way to juice up the offense and be more creative. They believe they have the tools now. You know, they picked up Cooper. They've now had a lead receiver. They've got Elliott. I think they still need a tight end. But the question is, can Linehan and his offense be 200 points better than it was last year? I don't think so.
I'll ask you one more question about the Cowboys, because if you look at the roster, it's very young. Sean Lee is the one old-timer on defense. I guess Cole Beasley on offense. But it's a pretty mm-hmm. young team. If you were working the draft, obviously they don't have a first-round pick. They traded for Amari Cooper. Is there a position or two that you'd really like to see them upgrade?
Oh, without question. I think they need a tight end, and they need a playmaking safety.
Yeah.
You look at what Travis Kelce does for the Chiefs, what Gronkowski does for the Patriots. You know, that's your safety valve. You know, when Jason Witten was here, he was catching 90 balls, and he was the guy that Dak could win all else failed, he could always throw it to 82. They need that security blanket receiver for Dak going forward. They got two guys to flank now on Gallup and Cooper, but they need a tight end. And secondly, they have a dire need for a playmaking safety. This defense, as good as it is statistically, they don't get enough sacks, and they don't take the ball away. You look at the Bears, they had 39 takeaways. The Cowboys had 20. And those are two top five defenses, but the Bears took the ball away and got out the field. The Cowboys don't. And it'll be interesting to see how the Earl Thomas thing plays out. I think Earl would like to come and play for the Cowboys, but he's 30. You can't break the bank for a 30-year-old player in a salary cap world. He'd be the ideal fit, a playmaker at the back end of the defense. But, yeah, if you're drafted now, if you give me a tight end and safety with my first two picks, I'd be happy to cancel.
Rick, you mentioned the Chiefs. Let's take a look at what they did this weekend. You know, we've watched a defense all season that has been pretty porous, and I was just shocked at how they were able to stop Andrew Luck and the Colts yesterday. Is that more of the Chiefs' defense is really coming together and playing as they should and making the stops they need, or does it really highlight kind of the inconsistency of the Colts?
Well, the Chiefs' defense, statistically, it's not very good except for one thing. They did lead the NFL in sacks.
Which is shocking. I would never have guessed that.
Well, because they're always playing in a lead. You know, with Mahomes, they're putting up big numbers. You know, they're a high-score team in football. So you're always playing in a lead, which means the other team's got a pass, which means you get the pass rush.
Yep.
But that's the key. I thought the Colts could come in there and win if they could protect Luck. They've done it all season. He had only 18 sacks all year, league low. He had seven games where he wasn't sacked, including the playoff game against Houston. You know, when they protect him, they win. The Chiefs got to him three times. He had one sack in the month of October, and the Chiefs got to him three times and pressured him on a number of other occasions. And that'll be the key this week against the Patriots. Can they pressure Brady? Mm-hmm. The ball comes out pretty quick in Brady's hands. If they can pressure Brady and get him out of rhythm, I think the Chiefs have a good chance of going to the Super Bowl.
So we saw last week, well, we saw Belichick's strategy was to run the ball, and they ran the ball very well against the Chargers. Do you see the Patriots coming out with that approach, or the quick release passes that Brady likes to do when he comes out against the Chiefs?
Well, I think he's going to have to run the ball, and he's got the running back to do it, and Sonny Michael. You got to keep the Chiefs' offense off the field. They are such a high-scoring bunch. That's how you beat them.
Yep.
And that's when the Cowboys beat the Saints, that's what they did. They ran the ball. They controlled the clock. They kept Breeze and the offense off the field. To beat the Chiefs, especially on the road, you're going to have to keep Mahomes off the field. The Chiefs are the better team in this game, the better offense in this game. If you don't let them get on the field, there's a good chance you could win. But this isn't the same New England team we've seen that won Super Bowls. They had a 3-5 record on the road. Only one team in Super Bowl history has won a Super Bowl with a losing road record. The Patriots went into Detroit, lost to Matt Stafford. They went into Jacksonville, lost to Blake Bortles. They went into Miami, lost to Ryan Tannehill. This is not the same team on the road as it is at home. The one thing the Chiefs have to get over is the aura of the dynasty and Tom Brady. But I think they have the better team.
Yeah, you'd think Andy Reid has some aura, too. I know he's not one at this level, but he sure seems like a guy with a lot of credibility. We're talking to Rick Goslin. He is the host of the Talk of Fame radio show on Wednesday nights here on SB Nation Radio. You can hear from 8 to 10 Eastern. All right, let's go over to the NFC. The Saints get to host the Rams, but, boy, the Rams looked a lot better this weekend than the Saints. What kind of Saints team do you think will show up, and how effective can they be against the Rams' defense?
I think the Saints are the better team, and I really like the two running backs they have, Kamara and Ingram.
Yep.
I think they can throw it and beat you, and they can run it and beat you, and they have the better defense in this game. The big difference between the Saints that won the Super Bowl and this team is that they're not asking Drew Brees to make every play to win every game. They can hand the ball off and win. They can play defense and win. So Brees doesn't have to throw for 350, 400 yards for them to win. He's had many games this season where he's thrown for under 200, and they've won. And I think the fact the game is at home, I've been to countless games in the Superdome, and that is a tremendous home field advantage for the Saints. They've already beaten the Rams. That's going to be in the back of the Rams' mind. And I think that was probably in the back of the Eagles' mind, too, when they went in there. You got to overcome that. But the fact the game's in New Orleans, I like the Saints.
So watching Drew Brees yesterday, there were a couple of times he didn't get the ball out far enough. It seemed like he underthrew the ball or there was a little flutter on his passes. Was I overthinking this? Do you think he's showing any sign of age or his arm isn't as strong as it used to be?
No, without question. He's not the same Drew Brees that took the Saints to that first Super Bowl. And frankly, this isn't the same Tom Brady that's going to win the Super Bowls. You know, age catches up. No one's ever beaten Father Time in the history of sports.
Right.
And you got Brady in his 40s. Brees is approaching 40. I mean, they're not the same quarterback, which is why they now lean a little bit more on the run and lean a bit more on defense. You don't need the quarterbacks to make every throw, but Brees is still capable of making the throws he needs to make to win games. And that's the advantage they have. This team, they have a head coach that's won a Super Bowl. They have a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl. And the Rams don't.
Fair enough. Let me shift gears for a minute. So there were all these coaching openings, 8 coaching openings in the NFL. 6 have been formally filled, 2 presumably imminently to be filled. Which pick did you like the best? Which coach do you think is the best fit for his team?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Do you like Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I think Bruce got out when the going was good in Arizona. I think he saw the end coming, which is why he retired. The one I kind of like is Kitchens in Cleveland, because he was the guy calling the plays when Baker Mayfield really turned it on. I think if they can get some more defensive help, I like Kitchens. I think the Browns are going to win that division next year. I think the division shifted. Steelers are older. Ravens are older. Bengals are kind of spinning the wheels. I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns win that division. I love Kitchens calling the plays. Arians is a good fit if he can make Winston the quarterback the Buccaneers thought he was. But I think the trend you see, as I said, the top 4 teams in the 4 teams playing this weekend were the 4 highest scoring teams in football. I think all these teams were looking to hire offensive coaches, by and large young offensive coaches that can manage quarterbacks. And I feel bad. There's a lot of really great defensive coordinators who didn't get a look this year. Chris Richard in Dallas should have got more of a shot at a head coaching job, but he coaches defense. They want owners in today's NFL want the football in the air. They want excitement. They want passes. So that all the GMs now are going off to get young guys that know how to throw the football and manage quarterbacks.
Okay, so what has Steve Keim in Arizona seen that clearly I'm not with Cliff Kingsbury? How do you get a guy that's fired from a college job in the Big 12? How does he make it to the NFL? And it wasn't even like Arizona was the only team that wanted him. He was highly sought after.
But take it back a year. Steve Keim is the guy that hired Steve Wilks.
Right.
And they fired him after 1 year.
Right.
If you were that mistaken in your hiring process last year, why are you letting your GM make another hire this time around? So now he's got Wilkes, who lasted 1 year, and a lot of suspect thoughts on Kingsbury this year. I mean, again, he's a young guy who's been around a lot of good young quarterbacks, and that's what they were buying. They want a guy that can manage a quarterback. They need somebody to accelerate the development of Josh Rosen. And they've seen the history of Kingsbury with some of his quarterbacks, with the Manziels and the Mayfields. They're saying they're going to take a shot at him. They tried defense last year. They're trying offense this year.
Interesting times. We've got about 30 seconds. Can you just fill us in? Kyler Murray, does he have a good future in the NFL if he wants to choose the NFL? Do you believe he can play at his height?
Well, Baker Mayfield proved you don't have to be 6'4", 225 pounds to play. You know, for decades, the NFL looked for the prototype guys, guys like Troy Aikman, the big guys who could, with a bigger arm, who could take a hit. Mayfield's not that prototype. And I think that kind of cracks the door for Murray. Mayfield was 6 foot. Murray may not even be 5'10". That's small, and he's slight. The question is, can he hold up against the pass rush? Can he take hit after hit? Can he get sacked 56 times like Dak Prescott this season? I think it's such a quarterback-desperate league. I think he gets drafted in the first round, and if the money's right, I can see him playing football.
That's Rick Gosselin of the Talk of Fame radio show here on ESPN Nation Radio. You can hear him Wednesday night, 8 to 10 Eastern. Rick, thanks so much for joining us here on ESPN Nation Radio.
My pleasure. Have a good week.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
So great to have Rick Gosselin join us. He, of course, votes for the Hall of Fame. and has a great perspective on all things NFL. It was interesting to hear he is not excited about Cliff Kingsbury going to Arizona.
You know what? I love that he brought it. Wasn't even so much on Kingsbury himself. It was on GM Steve Keim in Arizona. Like, one and done with Steve Wilkes from last year. Like,
yeah.
I think what Steve Keim is doing is he's just trying to get the next hot hire. He's trying to get the next Sean McVay, or as you would say, the next sexy hire, right?
I might say the next sexy hire, though I'm not going to call Cliff Kingsbury sexy. You might do
that. You could, because he kind of is.
That is your word. Well, so it would have to be you that says it.
I might.
It is your word of the day.
Well, I'm going to go with it. I mean, I've been told there were pictures of him in hot tubs at USC and other kind of fun
things. At Tech. He had made it to USC
yet. He was going to have them.
It was his fake stopping point. He's messing with my alma mater.
Amazing.
Tease, boop.
Yeah.
So darn. He would have been great to develop JT Daniels too, but oh well.
Also interesting to hear Gosselin say that he thinks Kyler Murray is going to be a first-round pick. I do too. It's just amazing in a quarterback
star. There's no quarterbacks coming out.
And look, Murray has a great arm. He makes all the throws. It's just he's not the prototype.
Well, he's not the prototype. And I've got to say that 5'9", 5'10", makes me a bit nervous. These guys are big in the NFL. And something that, you know, you and I have talked about before is how he doesn't, you know, his ability and agility to buy time,
yep,
you know, when he's looking for an open guy, or, you know, the run pass option, whatever he's doing, he takes it up the field like Colin Kaepernick
used to do. He loves to run. Yes.
He loves to run.
And he's great at it.
Not for escapability, but for yardage.
Right.
And the issue is that when you're 5'9 and 5'10, you might have a short life.
Well, that's a little difference between Mayfield and Murray. Mayfield uses his legs to buy time
right
to throw.
Right.
Murray would take off running.
Because your best ability is your availability. Gotta stay healthy.
Gotta stay healthy. All right, we're healthy, and when we come back, we'll talk a little NBA. There's tough news for the Rockets. Clint
Capella
is injured.
My gosh, is the NBA playing?
Yeah, we'll be back on SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.